cleans, take cares of kid, of elders, manages the household. Basically, she works 365 days, 24/7. It's a round-the-clock job, sometimes along with another 9-to-5 paying job. Yet, what's the value of this housework? How are they compensated for it? Well, this is what has now been defined as unpaid work. In fact, in India, it's not even considered work. It's simply expected out of a woman. Her duty, many say. Compensation for household women, putting value to it, even including it as part of country's growth in way of GDP, has been under discussion in several developed nations. But last month, it found a mention here in the country, when Kamal Hassan's party promised salaries to housewives as part of its electoral campaign in Tamil Nadu. Soon after, the idea was welcomed by Congress leader Shashi Tharoor, who tweeted and said that monetize the services of women homemakers in society, enhance their power and autonomy, and create near universal basic income. Now, to this, actor Kangana Ranaut, she always has an opinion, said that we don't need salary for being queens of our own little kingdom. Tharoor then replied to that also and said that remuneration will lead to recognition of the value of unpaid work. But this has now got, this entire conversation has got a lot of people thinking, what exactly is the value of this household work, the value of unpaid work? Well, according to research by the Gates Foundation, for example, unpaid labor like cooking, cleaning, childcare, other household tasks holds women back most from achieving their own dreams. On an average, the time a woman spends performing unpaid labor amounts to at least 7 more years than men. That's according to the Gates Foundation. Now think about it, 7 years, that's actually the time it takes to complete a bachelor's degree along with a master's degree here in the country. Now in fact, they believe, that's the Gates Foundation, that household work should be accounted for as productive work, something that has been ignored by economists for the longest time. However, there was an economist, Madeline Warning, who studied unpaid work back in the 1980s and found that it would be the biggest sector of global economy if only it is counted. So is this the key to solving gender inequality, or does it glorify patriarchy, as some have said? Who will pay these women and how much will the compensation be? Who will decide that? Those are some of the very interesting questions we will be looking at, We the People, today. I'm Sonal Mehrotra Kapoor. Let's introduce our panel now. Very delighted to have with us Nikhil Day. He is the co-convener for NCPRI and social activist. He'll sort of bring us a perspective on how things stand when it comes to rural women. We also have Karuna Nandi joining us to bring us a legal aspect on things. We have KC Kumaravel. He is the General Secretary for Communication and Senior Leader, hi there, of the MNM, that is Kamal Hassan's party. Very interested to understand what exactly their pitch is to the people in Tamil Nadu, and especially the women in Tamil Nadu. We also will be joined shortly by somebody who actually petitioned the courts in Kerala to ensure that women are paid. But before I go ahead and have others join us, also Arpan Tulsian, author and independent researcher, also with us. Let me give the first word to Mr. C.K. Kumaravel. Sir, first tell us, what exactly is it that your party is pitching? Who will pay these women and how will it be decided?
No, our leader Kamal Hassan has always seen his mother doing all the work for the entire family, and the work is of very seldom recognized. And that is the starting point. Charity begins at home. It is there he saw a phenomenal kind of work, what the women and the house are doing, and this work is not recognized. He always been preaching that if this is going to be the GDP, if this is going to be the measure, this is going to be the biggest. In India, out of 16 prime ministers, only one was a woman. Out of 15 presidents, only one was a woman. We are still fighting for a 33% women reservation. These are something which is, women are called a minority in this.
Okay, as we check that line with him, I think what he's trying to say over there is that this is a step towards bridging that gap of inequality. But I hope we can connect back with him and get some answers to those very pertinent questions. I'm told I have Nikhil Day with me now. Nikhil, your thoughts on how this entire idea is going to float. You know, I was just reading some comments, and this is from a former IMF chief, a woman, of course, Christiane Lagner, who says that if women are pushed out of unpaid work, she says economy will bump up. And in India, at least, she said, to the context of 20%. Explain this picture to us.
Yeah, so I think the first thing is that this unpaid work, caregiving work, actually there is a whole variety of unpaid work that women have to deal with. It is caregiving work in the home. It's also work in the fields that's unpaid. And it's also work on many family occupations where someone is maybe a street vendor and half the work is done at home and the woman's work is not acknowledged at all.
Right.
So all those are different versions of unpaid work and unacknowledged work. Now, the question is not, and that's why I'm curious about what Mr. Kamal Hassan's party is thinking of doing, giving a cash transfer and giving cash benefits to women or to anyone who needs it is of value. But to say that people are going to get salaries, much more important than that actually is what you just quoted, that someone must be freed up from their work at home so that they can work outside and the economy can get a bump. So let us say women from all the various chores that they have to do at home, let's say children and child rearing, for instance. If you have from the time of Anganwadis and from the time of creches, you have 8-hour creches that run, all day creches that run, where parents can leave their children who can be looked after, their nutritional needs, everything else can be looked after. Then women can go out and work and they will obviously get monetized work. NRET has shown how much women actually want that work, and more than 50% in the country and in some states as high as 80%. Women are working for the first time and getting an income. So it's showing their participation in the economy. Okay. Where we need in the home, the unequal situation is men don't share that work. It is not so much a question. If they were to share that work, both men and women could work on where they could earn money and the economy could greatly benefit. And everyone, we will have a far more egalitarian situation and a win for everyone.
All right.
That's
so actually, so that's the rural perspective. If you talk about urban India, I think the pandemic has also got this conversation a little bit more, as men are actually exposed to much more work at home and they're beginning to realize what it actually stands for. But before I take this forward, let me go back to our guest from M&M. So you were making a point some time back. I get that you're saying where in your party this decision came from. Kamal Hassan, you said, takes inspiration from his own mother. But how exactly are you planning to implement it? What's your pitch? Are you saying the government compensates these women, and how will that compensation be decided?
So definitely the government will compensate to the women, and it is something like what has gone to the MNREGA kind of scheme. What is the the work
so defined you mean a direct cash transfer?
And like the LPG scheme, some people will require it and say, I don't require it. This is not a forced thing. India is a very complex country. There are different layers of people at different level. We need to take care of the lower rung people. That is what is very important. And the money will be very useful to them. And they will use that to ensure that better performance at home and also outside.
But have you sort of designed a formula yet? Do you have a blueprint of what you're proposing at this point? What percentage, etc.? I get that you're giving it to one section of the society.
Yeah, yeah, we have done a blueprint. It is based on the blueprint only we are talking, and we have identified a set of money what is required for them on a month on month basis.
Could you share
and
that? Money could you share that with our viewers? How much,
no,
for
I
example?
Cannot share. No. No, I can't.
Oh, you can't share that yet. Okay. All right.
Yeah,
I think that's
that
also an answer
that
in itself.
That number is still under discussion. It is not yet finalized, so I will not be able to put it across.
All right. Thank you. Stay on with us. Let me also introduce the rest of the panel. We have Nishtha Satyam. She is from the UN Women in India. Arpan Tulsiyan as well. And
Namita Bhandari also joins us now. Let me go first across to Arpan Tulsiyan. Arpan actually wrote a very interesting article in the Indian Express about this. Why don't you share some of the insights that you found after you looked into this subject in detail?
Yeah. So, first of all, big thank you to M&M, because I think what they've done is they have politicized the invisible domestic and care work. So, I'm very happy about that. And I think that, you know, they have furthered also the discourse that women shoulder a disproportionate burden of it. Yeah, but, you know, I feel that our strategy should be in making the household chores more participatory. Instead of paying, so to say, a salary for housework. I say this because I feel that making it into a wage thing will make it more exploitative for women, and it'll also keep them away from realizing their full potential. So I think we must recognize housework as work. We must value it. We must measure it. And we must put an economic value to it in the national accounts and statistics. And we must do time use surveys like we do, because, you know, it puts out inequality very starkly and it helps the agenda of feminist reform. But I feel that some sort of a cash transfer in lieu of housework to housewives or homemakers, I think that is a misplaced idea. If it has to be so, I would prefer a universal, unconditional universal basic income to everybody.
Right. Interesting. Interesting. Let me bring in Nishtha also on this. Nishtha, you know, the idea of compensation for housework is a very uncomfortable one, right? It's not a conversation one can hold even amongst women, I feel, at times. How, I mean, many would say this is almost trivializing the kind of the job, perhaps. I have to call it a job, actually. Is it just trivializing the job women do in the household?
Thanks, Sonal. Thanks for asking me that question. I was hoping that you'd put that out to me. Well, to be very honest, I think it's uncomfortable because it challenges patriarchy. Challenging patriarchy is not a pleasant process. And all of us who are products of patriarchy are not going to feel pleasant and comfortable through this process. So I'm really glad that this conversation is uncomfortable, which means it challenges some of the most basic notions of how we've groomed. Now, I don't particularly think we're ever challenged about paying men and compensating them for anything. But when the fundamental premise of what makes us uncomfortable is we think that women owe this to the society. We think this is what she should be doing. So the mantra of really recognizing unpaid care work, and I don't want to take a minute also to talk about the time use survey, is to recognize, reward, reduce, and redistribute. I think we're so far only talking about recognizing, and we're only halfway through that conversation. But it's very important to reward that work. It's very important to reduce that work and redistribute the work. And the most basic reason of why recognizing unpaid care work, and there are many reasons for this, is one, because it is the largest section of the economy if it were to be formalized. There's a wonderful study by the ILO which talks about investment in the care economy, which is likely to create about 69 million jobs in India. Two, understanding through time use surveys, unpaid care work gives us the relationship between poverty, income poverty, and time poverty. Now, earlier in the show, we were talking about how this is a rural woman's issue.
Yeah.
But if you look at the early
I was just getting an aspect from Nikhil on that.
No, sure. Yeah. Absolutely. But if you actually...
Because nobody is denying that it doesn't happen in, say, South Delhi. There are enough and more women who are forced in a way to be at home. They do not get to do a job. Well, they can afford their Gucci's and Pradas, but that's because it's also a status symbol for the family. I'm afraid to ask if, again, at the end of the day, even for all the luxuries or perhaps whatever they have, it is, you know, it is sort of given, or it'll be at the behest of a kind man to let her do that. I mean, I'm just trying to understand where's the boundary.
Or a man that's equal. So
yeah.
Essentially, you know, what we're essentially saying is this is not a rural or an urban issue. This is about leaving out a very fundamental part of our economy that needs to be valued, that needs to be recognized and put there and put out there, which also means that, you know, but the largest part of this is actually freeing up women's time through the reduce and redistribute mechanism to actually make sure that they have access to formal opportunities of employment or opportunities of employment that is actually going to address their income poverty.
Okay.
But time poverty, which is a construct that we've not spoken about so much, is also a very, very important part of both the urban and the rural economy.
Okay. You know, when I put out this topic of debate on social media, I got lots of comments, not just from women, of course. But Karuna Nandi, I want you to answer this. Somebody wrote to me and said that, well, I'm interested to know how exactly will this will it work out in the way of dowry. Do you think now that the man does not have to provide for her, this will let go of the entire system altogether?
I mean, there are multiple levels of confusion in that tweet.
I mean, I'm just saying, just the kind of ideas people are getting with it. And I must say this off the bat, that we're not taking a position on this issue at all. I'm really interested, as a lot of our viewers, to just understand what this means. How will this play out in our households and in our country?
I think you should take a position on it, Sonal. Because, look, you know, frankly,
maybe,
when
maybe
we
at the end of the show,
I think the role of journalism when it's raining outside is to look and see, is it raining outside? Not to say that A said it's not raining and B said it is raining, right? And if you look at the data, what the data says is that women's workforce participation rate has gone down from the 1990s from 35% to 25%. I was telling you earlier on our phone call that the workforce participation rate in Delhi is 11%. 11%. Plus, if you look at women's suicide rates, housewife suicide rates, not women's suicide rates, housewife suicide rates, it's gone up from 35% in the 25% in the 90s to 35% now. I don't think the two are unrelated. I'm also not saying that women must work outside the house at all. I'm not saying that. Or that people must work outside the house. I think there's a sort of Marxist conception sometime, I think, which is very useful in as an analytical tool, that of leisure as a value. I think that's very important. I think where sometimes some of these policies go is not as useful, because sometimes these policies go to a place that say that the only care work that children must and the elderly must have is through institutions, you know? And I don't think that's necessarily a place we want to go. Which is not to say that the whole burden should be on women. And I like the 3R formula that the speaker before me, I think it was Nishtha, gave. I like that. But the point is that when we look at, let's just get rid of the dowry idea. It's, you know, frankly, it's stupid. where the dowry idea comes from is that when you are looking at the transfer of property through kinship lines, that it goes through patriarchal kinship lines. So it goes from father to son to son to son, and that the daughters don't get land, they don't get property. The idea at best is that they get a dowry through the in lieu of the property. The reason that this is complete nonsense is that firstly, it doesn't go to her, right? It goes to the it goes to her husband's family. Secondly, that it's nowhere near equivalent of the property that is given to the sons, right? But I think the most important thing is that it doesn't go to her at all.
Right.
So where is she benefiting? It's basically a sort of payment for, you know, the fact that she's a woman, the fact that you're agreeing to marry. It's literally a price of being a price on patriarchy. What is it that...
Karuna, I'm just intervening at this point because I want to introduce somebody very important on the show.
On women's.
Right. I'm just interjecting at this point because I want to introduce somebody very important on the show. We have with us Salochana Ramakrishnan. She's a social activist from Kerala. Salochana is somebody who actually approached the Kerala High Court and wrote a petition on this. Salochana, and you know, the struggle here is a little bit of Malayalam, but we'll try. We've done a bit of Hindi with her, and I think it works. Salochana, namaste. NDTV parane ke liye bahut bahut shukriya. Main janna chahti thi ki aapne Kerala High Court mein jaakar unse bola ki compensation dena chahiye housewives ko. Aur aap mujhe pehle bata rahi thi kyunki aapne ek survey bhi kara aur kafi sari housewives se pucha iske bare mein. Mujhe bataiye kyun itna important hai ये कॉम्पनसेशन मिलना?
क्योंकि हम लोग एक सर्वे किया था, मैं आपसे बात किया था, वो सर्वे में पूरा स्टेट में किया केरला में, उसमें से हम लोग सर्वे विमेन के साथ अबव 60 उम्र वाला औरत के साथ में सर्वे किया था. क्यों सर्वे किया? हम लोग देख रहे हैं केरला में, अदर स्टेट में मुझे पता नहीं है, केरला में ओल्ड एज होम बहुत सारा ज्यादा ज्यादा होते रहती है. ओल्ड एज होम एंड ऑर्फनेज, ये दोनों. उसमें से हम लोग एक सर्वे किया था कि उसमें सारे से सारा 80% लोग औरत लोग रहते हैं, ये ऑर्फनेज में औरत लोग ही रहते हैं ज्यादा. उसमें हम लोग थोड़ा सोचा है ये क्यों ऐसा औरत लोग ज्यादा.
क्या बताया आपको, क्यों चाहिए उनको कॉम्पनसेशन? हाँ, क्यों इतना इम्पोर्टेंट है?
क्योंकि उनका जिंदगी भर और 16 साल से 65 इतना साल होने से उसका तबीयत अच्छा है, उसे पूरा टाइम घर का काम के लिए पड़ा है. बाल बच्चा को देखना है, माँ बाप को देखभाल करना है, खेती बाड़ी में भी काम करना पड़ता है, घर का पूरा काम करना पड़ता है. ऐसा होने जिंदगी भर उन लोग काम करता है, लेकिन वो काम वैल्यूएबल नहीं है, वैल्यू नहीं है. वो क्या दिखाया, क्यों क्या
वैल्यू नहीं है? नोट द वर्ड शी इज सेइंग राइट नाउ.
हाँ वही है, वैल्यू नहीं है. हम लोग करते रहते हैं लेकिन कुछ भी इनकम नहीं है, पैसा नहीं है, कुछ भी कोई भी पूछेगा क्या कर रहे हैं, नहीं मैं कुछ काम नहीं कर रहे अगर हाउस वाइफ है, वैसे ही बोलते हैं.
इनफैक्ट द पिटीशन वाज डिसमिस्ड. The petition that Salochana took to the court was dismissed, and I want to read out what it said in the judgment. It said that we reiterate that the significance of homemakers, employed and unemployed, in societal well-being and individual upliftment. We are also of the opinion that to put a price tag for the work of mothers, wives, sisters and daughters and so on and so forth is an affront to womanhood and an insult to motherhood. It is that God created mothers lest he be unable to reach everywhere. The interesting bit is that this was written by a woman Chief Justice. So, and this is not very bad. This is just 2013 that we're talking about. On that note, let me bring in Namita Bhandari. Namita, your thoughts?
Yes, I've been itching to speak, Sonal. I think the idea about unpaid care work, I mean, we started using the word unpaid care work to point out the fact that all women work. Whether we're paid or we're not paid.
True.
Every single woman in India works, and works disproportionately to men where housework is concerned. The point about unpaid care work or housework, to use an older term, is not that we are not paid for it, but that more men do not do it. And if you look at this experience during the lockdown, during the pandemic, CMIE data analyzed by Professor Ashwini Deshpande of Ashoka University shows that men chipped in. So when there was lockdown, when your helpers were not coming to help out with the children, when the children were home from school, men chipped in.
But
it's not rocket science to do work. But then it's back to business. So the problem is patriarchy. The problem is gendered expectation. The problem is the wording and judgments that you just read out, elevating motherhood to some noble status as if fatherhood is what, a biological function, and motherhood is something. So, you know, I agree with Arpan when you say that give a salary. A salary then brings in an entitlement. It means, what are we fighting? We are fighting the concept and the definition of what is women's work. Child nurturing is women's work. Looking after the bhais, the cattle, you know, in rural India, that is women's work. Looking after the elderly and the sick is women's work. So if we are fighting what is women's work, surely then accepting a salary for this women's work is in a way legitimizing what is women's work. What you need is a change in perception. What you need is a change. So when government advertising, for instance, somebody was talking about the LPG cylinder scheme. If you remember the ads, all the ads of the LPG cylinder scheme said
only had
you
the
will
women.
Benefit of poor women. As if making a cup of tea is impossible for a man.
Look at all the advertisements around us. Why just LPG and government ads? Look at all. Look at all the corporates had around anything which has got to do with household work. In fact, let me bring in Karuna Andy. Karuna, I interrupted you earlier, but I want to understand this. So how does one monetize this? What is there a formula? Is there a global precedent? How are we to calculate this?
We don't need to go global, Sonal. There are examples from Goa where there's a Grihani Yojana, I think it's called, where they do direct cash transfers to homemakers, right? I actually think that it's possibly that these direct cash transfers should be a social security scheme for everybody, and then those who don't need it don't take it. Because I think Nikhil and I worked on a food bill that was deeply imperfect, I think, because the targeted cash transfers basically don't work, right? Because poor people, it's very difficult for
disadvantaged people to prove that they're the right kind of disadvantaged. Is that a percentage of the household income? Like, how is it calculated?
It's a flat rate.
Okay.
It's a flat rate. Okay. Right? But it makes a huge difference. That 1200 rupees actually makes a huge difference. However, there is also an argument, and this is an extremely controversial argument, and I can understand why you don't want to take sides, because the trolling of patriarchy is some of the worst kind of trolling, right? But there's one argument to say, and I think it's a strong argument, that whatever income is created in the marriage, I'm not saying the property you had before you got married or the income you had before you got married, but when you are marrying someone, there's a University of Santa Barbara study that looks at how people marry their people of equivalent value, whether that value is because you are a good parent, a good earner, strong, beautiful, fair, whatever the perceived value is, however discriminatory, whatever the perceived value is. We know, of course, that it breaks down along gender lines, right?
I'm sorry, I have 30 seconds, so quickly on that one, please. Yeah.
Okay, sure. The value that is created within a household by a couple is value that should be common. That value should be divided up equally. Where the woman, only the woman is doing the homemaking, the housework, rearing the children, and the man is only going out and doing work, I believe that there is a strong case to say that automatically there should be a 50% transfer to the woman's account, and then they both contribute equally.
Fascinating what you're saying, because it's even more interesting, because this is not a conversation which should happen, say, in a case of divorce. It should happen in active marriages, and that's more important. I'm so sorry I'm out of time, so I have to leave it there. Thank you all for joining us. That's it on We the People today, but this is a fascinating conversation, something I believe we can certainly dwell on even in the future. That's it from me. See you again. Bye.